This is OTB AM.
There's a new kid coming up who uses TikTok instead of Instagram, and therefore they're hotter property than Paul Pogba. Paul Pogba is what age now? 26? His ability to bring in Instagram likes still exists, but can he do it on a wet Wednesday night on TikTok? I don't think he can.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, weekdays from 7:30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
Hello there, welcome Max. So Manchester United going through their warm-ups at the Amex Stadium. We'll talk to Kenny Cunningham at full time. That game kicks off at 8:15. Shane Duffy and Aaron Connolly starting for Brighton this evening. In the meantime, we are turning to NASCAR, not something we talk about too often on the show. It has been a fraught and extraordinary time in the US of late since the death of George Floyd. And from a sporting perspective, amidst everything else going on, and NASCAR in particular has found itself grappling with the issue of racism, both traditionally and currently. To explain all, or certainly to try to, we have with us Jay Busby. He's a sports writer, journalist. He writes the official Yahoo Sports NASCAR blog as well. Jay, good evening. Great to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
I am honored to be your NASCAR correspondent, your Irish NASCAR correspondent.
Freshly appointed. Congratulations. So, look, my knowledge is average. You know, I was doing a bit of the basics on Wikipedia, the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing. I had never bothered to check what NASCAR stood before. It's privately owned. I didn't realize that. Privately owned. Bill France Sr. set it up in 1948. And Bill's son, Jim, has been the CEO since 2018. The HQ is in Daytona in Florida. And NASCAR sanctions 1,500 races over 100 tracks in the US each year. The Cup Series being the highest level, the most popular, the really top level, and that's 36 races over 10 months. So in a sense, not too dissimilar to the F1 type circuit we'd be familiar with over here. And I've seen Talladega Nights as well. So that's kind of me. That's kind of me here, Jay. I'm curious, like I think NASCAR, I think the South, I think the White South. Maybe fill us in on the less kind of factual stuff. How popular is the sport? Is it growing in popularity? Has it seen better days? Where is it popular? Who tends to be drawn to it?
Right. Yeah, you hit all the high points there. It was based in the American South. It began in the American South out of bootleggers running moonshine out of illegal stills in states like North Carolina and Georgia. They souped up their cars to be able to outrun the law. And then when they weren't running moonshine, they liked to race each other. And so Bill France Sr. had the bright idea to organize all of these moonshine running hellraisers, basically, into an organized circuit. And that was the origins of NASCAR. And that kind of rebellious origin runs the spirit of that, runs through the entire series to this day. And that's very much why you see a lot of fans who have that same rebellious spirit. And they consider themselves anti-authoritarian. If you tell them to do something, they will generally do the opposite. They know how to have a very, very, very good time, but they also don't like being told what to do. And that's part of the issue of why we're at where we are right now in terms of the Confederate flag, the Civil War leftover that is the flashpoint for so much political controversy in NASCAR right now.
Mm. And a day in the crowd at NASCAR, is it go there, have a picnic, drink lots of beer, get loud? Is that kind of the general plan?
I can tell my Irish friends that you would fit in quite well at any NASCAR event. It is tremendous fun. It's an event. It's not so much a game. It's not so much where you're watching, say, a baseball game, a soccer match, that kind of thing. It's a full weekend event. So you will have families go. They'll take campers there. They'll spend 2-3 nights there, and they will just, the race is only part of the experience. There's, as you mentioned, there's drinking. There's cooking out. There's hanging out. There's just enjoying the company of fellow race fans, and it's very much of an experience, and one that it's not like anything else in American sports by any stretch.
And I mentioned the Cup Series, the real high level is
right.
36 races over 10 months. Those 36 races, are they all based in the South, or does it go nationwide?
No, that's an excellent point. NASCAR was biggest and best known in the 70s and 80s and early 90s when drivers like Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt were at their peak. And then NASCAR used that their popularity to try to spread beyond the boundaries of the South. And now, literally, there are NASCAR tracks in virtually every corner of the country. And that fast expansion has upset number of the sports, longtime fans who believe it ought to be more of a Southern sport, believe it ought to be restricted to the Southern United States, but it is very much a national sport at this point.
And is it doing well? Is it popular?
It goes through ups and downs. The problem with NASCAR, if you call it a problem, is that fans attach themselves to a particular driver. It's not like attaching yourself to a particular team or a particular club. You attach yourself to a driver, and that driver becomes almost like a part of your family, even if you've never met him. So when that driver retires, you don't necessarily jump to the next driver. It's like seeing a member of your family retire from their job. You don't immediately associate yourself with the next driver driving the number 24 car or whatever it might be. Mm. And the problem that NASCAR has had is that many of its biggest name drivers, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, they've retired in the last few years, and they've left a number of fans adrift and not quite sure who they should root for next.
Okay. What kind of money's involved? What would the top drivers be getting paid?
They keep it quiet, but they tend to show up on the top drivers, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Jr., when he was racing. Those guys tend to show up in the upper reaches of the Forbes richest athletes list. They tend to make 9 and 10 figures.
Okay. So I'll come to Bubba Wallace and the noose story in a moment, which certainly made headlines worldwide. But could we just jump in a Confederate flag the situation there for a moment. So people will have seen that it's been banned post the death of George Floyd. The NASCAR tried to ban it in 2015, or encouraged certainly fans to stop taking the Confederate flag to events in 2015. I think that was after the Charleston church shooting. What reaction did that get? I mean, does the old rebellious spirit kick in there?
It absolutely did. The first race that they held after laying down that ban was also in the state of South Carolina, not too far from where that tragic massacre happened. And NASCAR fans, I was at that event. I was covering that event, and I have never seen more Confederate flags in one place than I saw that weekend. And they showed up, and they waved them definitively, and they were defiant. And it was a case of them not wanting to be told what to do. And they, NASCAR fans who waved that, perceive it as their line is heritage, not hate. And for them, it's heritage, even though it is perceived by everyone else outside of that particular subset as being a symbol of hatred and of racism. They hang on to it, and they insist that their view gives them the right to fly that flag.
Yeah. And I presume it's not officially waving the flag. Like, NASCAR aren't waving the flag off a pole anywhere, are they?
No. It is interesting. NASCAR used to associate itself with that flag many, many years ago. You would see the flag on the covers of programs and on T-shirts. But NASCAR long ago got the flag out of its official usage. And now you'll just see it raised up on flagpoles on trucks and RVs in the infield. And that's what they were trying to avoid is for many fans of color, for many white fans for that matter, you see that flag and you immediately associate it with racism. And so you don't even want to go to a NASCAR race because you figure that it's welcoming to racists, so it's not going to be welcoming to you. So NASCAR has very actively tried to get it out of use, even by fans raising it up on their own vehicles.
Well, for most, I would say, not even for many, for most, the flag stands for white supremacy, ultimately, if you were to boil it down. So I can't imagine there are many black faces, African-American faces in the crowd at NASCAR rallies.
Unfortunately, that has very much been the truth. There have only been a handful of black drivers, a handful of black crew members, only one or two owners that have ventured into the sport, and they've all almost unanimously recounted incidents of either overt or hidden racism in a way that they've heard things said about them behind their backs. They've heard the boos just from when they get out of the car, that kind of thing. There's a segment of NASCAR fandom that is absolutely not welcoming to anything that's not Southern and white. And what NASCAR is doing now is gambling that as loud as that segment can be, it's not very large. And they're gambling that they're willing to lose that segment. If that segment says, you know what, I don't want to be here, NASCAR is willing to say, fine, hit the road. We don't need the racist element, and we can bring in a more diverse crowd.
And so, Jay, if we fast forward to 2020, which seems like a tipping point in so many ways, post the death of George Floyd, NASCAR came out and said, right, we've got to put a stop to this. This is it now. I mean, we tried in 2015, but we're banning this flag. Was it respected in 2020?
Well, the issue that NASCAR, I don't want to say it was fortunate, but NASCAR hasn't had to deal really with fans in the stands yet. There's only been a couple of races where there have been fans in the stands, and they laid down this rule several weeks ago, and they haven't had to deal with a full 100,000 plus fan base with many of them bringing their flags. That's going to be interesting to see what happens in a few weeks, few months, however long it is. To see how NASCAR deals with it with somebody in the infield who decides to raise up the flag on his own little flagpole. How are they going to handle that? But for the most part, it was received well. I mean, most people recognize that the symbol, it's hateful associations, that its time has passed and it's time for NASCAR to move into the 21st century.
So that brings in Bubba Wallace. He is, I'm on the point of saying, the only African-American driver.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So he's the lone African American driver in NASCAR. So he was one of those who said it's time to end the Confederate flag, and obviously it was banned. And then this extraordinary story, which, you know, had its ups and downs and retractions and clarifications, kicked off. So, in short, somebody in his garage, in Bubba Wallace's garage, this is after the latest ban on the Confederate flag, found a noose in the garage. And there are, and you put it in your piece on Yahoo Sports, there are 29 NASCAR tracks, there are 1,600 garage stalls plus, 11 of those stalls have knots tied in the pull ropes, and exactly one, and it's this stall which Bubba Wallace was operating out of, this one had the noose. So the person who found it quickly put two and two together here. Reported this. NASCAR came out very strong. I mean, we've just put a picture of it up there, of the noose. I know that wasn't released immediately, but it's just a shocking image when you see it hanging there like that. And NASCAR came out really strongly. The whole sporting world, or certainly in the States, came out really strongly and condemned this absolutely initially.
Right, right. And as it turned out, the noose had been there since October. The track had been closed since October because of both the winter in the United States and then being shut down because of COVID precautions. So the noose had been hanging there for all this time, and it was literally a 1 in 40 chance that Bubba Wallace would have ended up with this particular stall. But the issue, of course, is not so much, I mean, it's obviously terrible that Wallace and his crew, actually it was an African-American crew member who spotted it first, but the fact that it was there at all, that's what I think has gotten a bit lost. You wouldn't see a noose hanging in the corner of a bookstore. You wouldn't see the noose hanging in the corner of a coffee shop, you know, that kind of thing. And so to have it hanging in the corner of a garage, no matter how quote unquote innocent it might have been to tie it, that's what NASCAR is pushing back against.
Yeah, so there's a noose, and it's been put in Bubba Wallace's garage for him to find, or for that African-American team to find, and it was chilling.
Right.
You know, that was a chilling thought, that this was the reaction. And then the FBI came out and said they'd established this noose was there from October, which predated Bubba Wallace being involved with that garage. And then there was obviously the backlash. Well, look at this, you know, you've concocted this effectively. It was a normal overhand loop used to pull down garage doors, and you made a mistake here, and you jumped to conclusions, and it's all on you. So explain, you'll need to explain this to me. A normal overhand loop used to pull down a garage door versus a noose. There is a practical use to this rope. This is not just hanging in a garage and doesn't do anything. This is used to pull down a garage door. But I guess your point is, even subsequent to establishing that this has been there since October, is, well, it doesn't need to, the knot itself does not need to be a noose.
Right, right. Yeah, the rope just hangs down and makes it easier to pull down the garage doors there. Okay. The building, it's a giant warehouse building. It's not a bunch of separate little stalls. It's one large building with these roll-down doors, and the ropes help pull it down. Okay. And so some people will tie a little rope in it to make a little knot, I should say, in it to make it easier to pull down. But without going too far into the semantics of a noose, it's a terrible knot if you're looking to make something to pull down, because it constricts upon itself.
Sure.
And B, it's such a powerful and devastating symbol to the Black community. It has so much more meaning than just any kind of simple knot. There's just so much more going on there. And so, no one can look at that and think it's anything but a noose.
Yes. So it's not practical. It's not the best knot to tie, first of
no.
all.
No.
You're saying, at best, it's very, very careless and insensitive. At worst, maybe it's right in the ballpark of the Confederate flags flying.
Yes, and at best, the best estimation is that it was done by somebody who was being completely thoughtless. But when you consider the fact that Wallace had just come out in support of Black Lives Matter, had it on his car, there was a rally outside the track, outside Talladega, earlier that day to protest the removal of the Confederate flag. There was a plane flying over the track saying defund NASCAR with a Confederate flag on it. When you add all of that together, it is not at all a far leap to make that this was deliberately targeted at Bubba Wallace. And so it is definitely a relief that it wasn't, but that doesn't solve the question of why it's there in the first place.
Mm. I saw the other drivers come out very strongly in support of Wallace, and he was pushed to the forefront of the grid, and they took a photo, and he was doing interviews on morning television nationally, and NASCAR, in fairness, did come out and called it heinous and said they were angry and outraged. So there was that degree of support, but still, you know, even that plane flying over the track with the Confederate flag, that is really difficult. And Kyle Larson is a driver, and during the lockdown there were online races happening, and he was involved in one of the online races, and I think he thought his radio car was not for the public, and he used the N-word, and ultimately he had to lose his job. So this is the atmosphere we're talking about. And I saw, Jay, you wrote a piece for Yahoo Sports, and you said, within minutes of arriving at the first race I covered for Yahoo Sports back in early 2008, I saw propped on the back of a pickup truck a whiteboard with a crudely scrawled racist caricature of then presidential candidate Barack Obama, just as an example. So this whole thing, it stinks. You know, the whole thing does have it's got a massive problem, the sport.
It's infuriating. As someone who has grown up a fan of the sport, as someone who continues to cover the sport, it's infuriating to see these racist elements get that still are present in the sport. NASCAR itself is not a racist sport, but there is an awful lot of racists who really enjoy NASCAR and find that it is for them a safe place to express what they want to express. And NASCAR, to their very great credit, has said enough. We don't need you in the sport. We don't want you in the sport. Hit the road.
Much like, it's almost the States in a microcosm in some ways. You're in for a fairly feisty couple of years, I would think. I mean, they're not going to go quietly here.
No. And like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how they enforce this ban. We were joking, but not really joking. There are plenty of NASCAR fans who have Confederate flag tattoos. How are they going to handle that? You know, how do you handle a tattoo? How do you handle somebody who's wearing a shirt and refuses to take it off and don something else? NASCAR is going to have to be steadfast about this. I think that time and history and popular support are now on their side in a way that they weren't before. But NASCAR and its drivers are going to need to make it clear it's not acceptable anymore. It doesn't matter what went on before. It's not acceptable now.
Well, Jay, that's fascinating. We might check in a couple of months and see how things transpire when big crowds come back and what happens. But for the time being,
I would
being,
love to.
Yeah, that'd be great. Jay Busby, a sports writer, journalist, writes the official Yahoo Sports NASCAR blog. Jay, great talking to you. Thanks so much for all that.
Thank you very much for your time.
Cheers. We'll take a short break. That's Jay Busby there. You can check out his work, as I said, on Yahoo Sports. They're 5 minutes into the game at the Amex. 0-0.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.